اللهم صل الله وسلم على رسوله الكريم وآله وصحبه ومن اتقى ومن اتبع هداه إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد, we had a homework assignment. Do you remember what the homework assignment was?
Yes, sir.
All right, let me hear your three or more phrases to remember.
Okay, so the first one, and I took this is a quote from John Taylor Gatto. It's, you don't get an education, you take it. That's the first one.
Okay, what does that mean?
That means that in the process of learning, either at Timbuktu or any institution, that you can't be passive and just, when in the classroom, you can't be passive. You have to actually take an active part in learning so that you're actually taking it, because it won't just be given to you.
Right. It's not a one-sided thing. It's not poured into you.
Yes.
Okay? Right. It's not. It's one scholar said, لو كان علم في شرب لسقيناكم. You know? لسقيتموكم. Not لسقيناكم. لسقيتكم. لسقيتكم. He said, if knowledge was in a drink, then I'd pour some for you. You get my point? I just give you guys a drink, but it's not. It's kesp, and that's working and striving towards a particular knowledge. Alhamdulillah, that's excellent. Okay, that's one. Let's hear another one. Well, what did you have to say about that? Do you have more to say about that?
Yeah, well, I had my evidence for that from the Quran.
Let's hear it.
From the Quran is from Surah An-Najm, وَأَلَّيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى وَأَنَّ سَعَيْهُ سَوْفَ يُرَى. That's my dalil from the Quran. And my dalil from the Sunnah is from a hadith from Muslim. لَوْ كَانَ الدِّينُ عِنْدَ الثُّرَيَّ لَذَهَبَ بِهِ رَجُلٌ مِّنْ فَارِسٍ أَوْ قَالْ مَنْ أَبْنَاءِ فَارِسٍ
حتى يتناول. Who is the dalil, right? Because this shows that he would have went there and got it, right?
Yes.
And accomplished it. Now, alhamdulillah. That's one.
Yes, sir. My next one is a quote from a manga. I was having trouble of thinking of one, so I wanted to go with this one just because I like this one a lot and I try to think like this. So this one is, it goes like this: preoccupied with a single leaf, you won't see the tree. Preoccupied with a single tree, you'll miss the entire forest. And the hadith that I paired with that was,
now what's the point? Explain it first.
Oh, the point is to think about things in a comprehensive manner, to not get so focused and so tunnel visioned that you lose sight of the overall objective or the overall goal. It reminds me of one of your khutbas that I heard online years ago when I first converted, and you talked about the example of the people who are cutting down a forest, and then the foreman of the lumberjacks, he gets up and he waves his hands to signal them to stop, and they think that they're gonna be praised for how good of a job they're doing. And he says, guys, wrong forest, wrong forest, wrong forest. And they say, shut up, we're making progress. Meaning that they weren't thinking about the actual objective. They did, you know what I'm saying? Or that's how I thought. So if you only think about, like, Muslim.
Excellent. Go ahead.
If you get preoccupied with one thing over another thing, then you're not going to see the big picture. Like, for example, if I only think about just memorizing the Quran and I don't think about, well, why am I doing that? You know what I mean? And what the whole overarching purpose is, then I'm being preoccupied with the single leaf and I'm not seeing the tree. And then because if I'm just stuck on the single tree, then I'm not seeing the forest. So I have to take myself away and say, okay, why am I doing this? So I guess it goes back to intention as well. But I didn't bring that hadith. I brought a different hadith.
No. You said it. Astaghfirullah al-Azim.
There's a couple other ways you can say this. One of them is saying, don't get wrapped around the axle. You ever hear that phrase before?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so that's another way of saying the same thing, is that don't get wrapped around the axle, maybe, you know, too overly focused. So like you said, you get tunnel vision. Or as there's another way, there's a story about a man who is focusing on chopping a log in half. His job is to chop the log in half. And in order to chop the log in half, he has to take a good strike. So he's focusing on swinging that axe and getting a good strike. And he's focusing so much on swinging that axe and getting a good strike, he loses focus on what the job was, which was to chop the log in half. And he just swings it so hard every time that it finally swings and cuts right through the log and hits himself in the leg. You get my point? He wasn't paying attention to the actual job. He got wrapped around the axle. He got wrapped around one aspect of the job. And so, you know, that it caused himself to harm himself. So, like you said, if you focus on a leaf, you won't even see the tree. You know, and if you focus on a tree, you won't see the forest. That's a good way of saying it as well. But what's your delil from the Quran and the Sunnah that this is that supports this statement?
My delil is Bunya Islamu ala khams shahadati an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah wa iqami salati wa ita'i zakati wa hajj al-bayti man wa hajj al-bayt wa sawmi Ramadan. And I chose that hadith because the Islam is comprehensive, so we can't only, if we were to leave out any aspect of what's mentioned in the hadith, then we aren't actually practicing Islam. Not to say that we don't focus on each of those aspects, but that if we only were to focus on one aspect at and to neglect the other aspects, that it wouldn't be Islam anymore. So that's what I thought about that, is to think about.
It's a beautiful, and listen, that is a beautiful delil. And it is a perfect delil for this particular statement that you said right here. I think, see, this epitomizes that particular, you know, delil that you used right there for this particular subject. To me, epitomizes the homework, and it shows that you guys are understanding that this is teaching you and your how to apply your fiqh. Okay? This is excellent. That's a beautiful way of doing it. And I'm really happy that you did it that way. MashaAllah. Alhamdulillah. Okay, give me the third one.
The third one is...
I'm sorry. Did you have an ayah to support that as well?
I didn't bring an ayah for that one, no, sir.
No problem. It's not necessary. If you didn't have one, you didn't have one. Go ahead, please. Salam. It's the next one.
The third one is, this is something that my mom says. She says that proximity is not community. And she says...
Proximity is not... I didn't hear this quote. Could you give it to me again?
Proximity is not community.
Proximity is not community?
Yes.
Could you explain it, please?
She says this because she says that part of being in a community, part of being in a community is communicating. That if people are just living next to each other, but they aren't communicating and working together, that they're in proximity, but they're not in community. Just like how we can be, even though, for example, we aren't physically close to each other, here we're communicating together towards a shared goal and a shared objective, which is learning. But the people that I live next to are for the most part kufar, and I'm not communicating with them towards a specific goal. So proximity is not community. And my ayah for that, or part of an ayah, is وَتَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى. That's what I brought for the delil of that.
Okay. I agree with the statement that proximity does not mean community. It's true. And I agree with the meaning that community is exactly a compound word, common unity,
you know, and also communicating, right? I get it. But as far as the dalil, I can see the dalil being supportive of that in a general way. Do you have any other dalil support for that? Do you find any other support for that in the Quran and the Sunnah?
I can't quote the ayah off the top of my head, but the ayah about shura, that's what I would also think. That would be.
So why didn't you why didn't you find the ayah?
I just thought of that one recently. This was the first one I thought of. Because
I want you to write these down. I don't want these just verbally. I want them written down.
No, I wrote it down. I wrote all this down, sir.
Okay. So then he says shura baynakum, right? You know, so the ayah of shura, I don't know which one you're referring to, because there's another one as well. You know, Allah commands you to make shura. But ta'awunu ala al-birri wa taqwa does support it. The concept that you mentioned here. Does anyone else have a support that they can think for his phrase to reference? No? Anybody going to respond to me?
No, sir. I'm struggling to think of one.
Okay. All right. Well, then, what I want you to do is to send these to me, Mr. Barakat. Send them to me from Telegram or however you can. Yeah, send them to me on Telegram. And with the proof and what the explanation is in this fashion, okay? And when you find the ayah of Shura, okay? You know, وَشَاوِرَهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ, that could be another ayah that you were referring to. Because then there's a وَشُورَ بَيْنَكُمْ, there's another ayah. But I don't know which one you're referring to. So you bring it and so I can look at it, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. Mr. Ahmed, go ahead. Let me hear your three.
Bismillah ar-Rahman. Assalamu alaikum. Sheikh, I have two so far, but inshallah, I'm working on the third. The first one is the self. The meaning of self, for example.
No, what's the phrase? Give me the phrase.
Yes, this is one of the phrases. It's from a book I was reading. So self, if it's examined carefully,
listen. Name the book you were reading. The way your presentation is terrible right now so far. I can't even follow you.
Sorry, Sheikh.
So this is what you do. Listen to me. Did you hear how Mr. Baraka presented his?
Yes.
Okay, he said either first, I got this phrase from, he named his mother. He named where he got the phrase from. You can't say a book. Say, name the book. I got it from a book. Name the title of the book.
Yes, sir. Yes.
You get my point?
Yes, I get the point.
It's too vague. Then think about your sentences. Then give us the phrases, quote, and give us the phrase. Then explain the phrase. Then give us proof from the Quran and Sunnah. Go ahead. Bismillah.
I got this phrase from this book called the 10 Stack Commandments.
The title again, 10 Stack
Commandments by Brother Nafis Sparrows.
Okay, go ahead.
So one part I liked about was called the self, if examined carefully, means the soul that earns a living from within.
The soul, the self, is the soul self that... The soul, when examined... Go ahead.
If it's examined carefully, means the soul that earns a living from within.
Okay, the self, when examined carefully, means the soul that earns a living from within.
Yes, Sheikh.
Yeah.
from approved from the
no no what, is that, what does that mean to you? Tell us what that means. Okay.
It means having having always the attitude of as a Muslim to always to be a winner, or not having a defeatist attitude, but having a that Allah has given us all the resources we need to achieve our aim of goals.
Naam, alhamdulillah, that sounds good. So, if I can understand you correctly, you're saying that the soul, when examined correctly, the self, when examined correctly or in details, is the soul that earns a living from within. And you're saying this phrase is a phrase you use to remind yourself that as a Muslim, we have to have a positive, optimistic attitude because Allah has given us inside of ourselves everything we need to win, to become victorious in this dunya. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Okay, what's your proof?
Proof is from the Quran. Allah said, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah will never put us into a situation which we cannot overbear.
No ums. Not wise, okay? Start again. Sure.
Allah will never place in us in situations which we cannot overbear.
That will be overbearing, that we cannot bear.
Yes.
Choose your words better. You're sounding chopped up as though your thoughts have not been thought out. You have to think out how you're going to phrase what you're going to say. Don't think about it at the moment. Okay? If you're having a difficult time articulating anything, write it down. And if you're having a hard time trying to articulate it, then carry around a piece of paper in your chest, breast pocket with a pen. Because the brain never puts down a thought, an incomplete thought. It keeps obsessing over it until it, ahkamaha, until it perfects that thought. But sometimes it happens in the weirdest places. Sometimes you have to relax and let it go into the subconscious while it's figuring it out. So you could be walking down the street or doing something, some other task, and then bring the mind comes up with the perfect way of articulating something that you've been thinking about. How do I articulate that? And it comes out loud in your head. That's the moment you take out that pen and paper and you start writing down that completed thought. Okay, because the distractions of the dunya and shaitan himself will rush to get you to confuse you and to make you lose focus so you can't complete that thought well, or that you forget real quickly because he doesn't want you to benefit. But if you put down, if you write it down, now by writing it down, it's forced you to hear it clearly. And through the act of writing, it helps you remember it even more. And then through the act of reading it to make sure that it is articulating what you want to say, you've now memorized how to say it. So when called upon, you have many tracks to your memory on the particular thought. So remember that, okay? Explain it to me again, one time. Bismillah.
Bismillah. From the top.
Okay.
This phrase, the word self, if it's examined carefully, means the soul that earns a living from within. That Allah has given us all the faculties and all the resources that we need to to live on earth and also to achieve what we want to achieve, that is goodness and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And where did you get this phrase from?
This phrase is from the book called 10 Stack
Commandments. That was.
This phrase is from the book called 10 Stack Commandments by Nafis Farah.
Okay, you said 10 Step Commandments. Is that that word you're saying?
10 Stack as 10, T-E-N, Stack, S-T-A-C-K, Commandments.
Stack. Okay, commandments. 10 Stack Commandments. Okay. Yeah. By Nafis, what's his last name? His family name?
Burrow.
Okay. Nafis Burrow. Okay.
Yes, sir.
And what's the proof?
The proof is from Surah Al-Baqarah in the last verse, La yukallifullahu nafsan illa wus'aha. That Allah cannot place.
Will not that Allah cannot. Allah will not. There is no verse. Okay, it's the last ayah. It's an ayah, not a verse.
Yes, sir. The last ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah, that Allah will not place upon us anything that we cannot overwhelm.
We cannot overwhelm, or we can, well, that we cannot do. He will not overwhelm us with a, or put a burden or responsibility upon us that we cannot do, right? That we cannot
yes.
accomplish, right? Or that would overwhelm us. Okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, that's one. Let me hear another one.
The other one, I haven't yet written down this one, Sheikh. Is it okay if I can...
You know, this is not acceptable. You know, you had enough time to find three statements that you use in your life and phrases. So there's, I'm not pleased that you didn't come up with except one. It shows that you're not utilizing your time to focus on these assignments. So you need to reflect upon how you spend your time. Okay? But so try to do one right now, but I don't want you to do it right now, actually, because I want you to pay attention to the class. But after the class, you have to do this assignment.
Yes, sir. Okay.
This is part of the recipe. Homework is part of the recipe for succeeding in any subject. Just having the class is not enough. Being alone by yourself, contemplating over the assignment is part of the learning process. And there is a unique experience that the student has within himself and with the assignment. You know, that's tempered by or flavored by whatever's going on personally in their lives. And this unique private experience is sometimes remembered more than the classroom experience. The experience with doing the assignment. And this is growing points, because learning is pinpointing in your mind and in your heart issues, masail, points of learning. Okay? It's directly learning one principle and building on that one principle. So when you have an experience and you learn the principle and you experience the principle through, again, the homework and finding some type of way to articulate something or finding a proof for something, that's, you know, the learning has taken place right then and there. Coming to the classroom may confirm or, you know, whittle it down, specify it, okay? But where you learned it exactly is going to be remembered, and how you benefited from it, that process is going to be remembered. So make sure you do your homeworks when you're told to do them, so you don't get overwhelmed when the rest of the class continues. Alhamdulillah.
Yes.
Mr. Tyler Boyd, it's your turn. Let me hear your three.
Yes, sir. Bismillah. Sheikh, I found this assignment a little bit challenging because I tried to pick statements which really echoed in my head over the years and which I benefited from. And I didn't find really that many, but I did find three. So the first one is something that...
Let me first respond to you and say that that was what the assignment was. The assignment is to reflect on the phrases of reference that you personally reference. It's no benefit if, you know, you've heard some phrase before and you don't use that phrase. Okay? You don't refer to that in your mind. There's no benefit in that. No. But the point of the assignment, one of the points of the assignment is for you to say, are the phrases that I refer to, are they valid? Are they in keeping with my deen? And if so, what do they actually mean to me? And what is the proof from the Quran and Sunnah that this is a valid idea? Because if it's any good, it's in the Quran. It's from the Quran and the Sunnah. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody knows enough of Quran and the Sunnah to be able to do the assignment. It may be from the Quran and the Sunnah directly, but a person may not know enough Quran or Sunnah to point that out. But here in a class, we might be able to help him if those phrases are articulated and what they mean are, then you might be able to get some help. So go ahead. Let's hear what you got.
Naam, bismillah. The first one is something we used to say as children playing on the playground, but I kept it my entire life because I don't think we realized how deep this statement was. And it was, he who smelt it, dealt it.
Naam, I remember that statement. Go ahead. What does it mean to you?
What it means to me now in this time is that the one who is always accusing others of something, he is the one who is doing that thing. And this is like a law of, you could call this like a law of justice, like a law of the universe, or like a sunnah of Allah even with people, that you discover the more you get older and you observe people and their actions and their statements, you find this to be true. Would you agree with that, Sheikh?
I would phrase it differently. I understand your statement and I agree with the way you have interpreted it. However, I say, as a man thinketh he is. That's the phrase that pops to my mind. Okay? The way you articulate, man, he who smelt it, dealt it. I get that. I get it. You know? But, like I said, in my mind, the way I articulate that same thought is, as a man thinketh he is. What I mean by that, and I got that from the book of the same title. There is a book called As a Man Thinketh. Okay? And what it means is that the person that's always coming up with negative and noticing all the negative is the one that thinks about negative all the time. Is that what you meant by it?
No, that's like more general than what I was thinking. But yes, that's correct.
So I was saying, for example, in my experience, this came out, but I was listening to what you were saying, how experience and dealing with people. I remember when I first came back from Japan and I was living in New York. I was living in Queens and I was around some people from the Caribbean. And these particular people, if you said good morning to them, they would turn around and say, "What? No, did you see how he said good morning to me? What's wrong with him? What do you mean by that?" You know, and I was like thrown off because I thought the guy just said good morning, you know? And I was saying good morning back to that person, whoever said it. But the guys that I was around, the people that were around, they saw, they read into those things.
Right.
So much negativity that I thought that I was naive. Wow, is that what they thought? Is that what was meant by that? So I started to listen more carefully to what people were saying, but I didn't get, I didn't have the ability to see the evil that these guys could see. So I began to understand that the people who were seeing all this stuff were some very wicked people themselves. And that's why they were able to hear everything that they heard was so negative, because that's how they, that was the only thing on their mind. Okay? So the person who can see positive in everything. And that goes back to a hadith of Isa ibn Maryam, where he's reported that he is walking, and it's an authentic hadith, with his companions. And some of his companions, well, they all see a dead carcass of a jackass. And one says, what a nasty smell that carcass has. Okay? And the other one says, what a filthy, you know, carcass it is. And then they look at Isa for him to say something. And he says, look how white those his teeth are. Okay? So everybody will see what they're, you may not argue about what you're looking at, but you disagree on what you see. Okay, my brother told me that one time. My brother was in the CIA, and I got out of the military and was, you know, promoting Islam. And we grew up in the same home. We have the same education. But he chooses to be a kafir fighting the Muslims. And as we were articulating and we argue all our lives about the situation, he finally sent me a card and said, we are not in disagreement about what we're looking at. We just disagree on what we see. And I thought that was a very profound statement, because that's, epitomizes the mentality of how a person's mindset influences what he sees. Okay? So, as a man thinketh, that's what he is. If he thinks everybody's a dirty, no-down, stinking so-and-so, because, you know, as they say, this gets to another statement, phrase that the people say, there's a statement they say about parents. The child you have the most problems with is the one that is the most like you. that's what the old folk used to say about the children.
SubhanAllah.
And they say that is because you can relate. You know why that child is doing that, because it's your child. You understand their action. But did you just...
That's true.
You saw all of that. You noticed all of that. Why? Because, as they say, he got it honest. He got it from you. You know? So, that's the same thing. As a man thinketh, that's what he is. You know, so, I understand all of that from what you said. He who smelt it, dealt it. Okay? Or has that in him. Now, how do you understand that? Again, please articulate it to us. Because you said it's not like what I said, but something like that.
Nah, the way that I understand it is that the one who is always accusing someone of some kind of crime or evil deed, it will come out in time. He is the one doing that.
What makes you believe that?
Because this has to do with the psychology of the person. He is doing that evil deed in secret, and he doesn't want people to find out. So a lot of his mind is spent thinking about that, how to cover it up, how to do it over here so no one sees, and so on and so forth. So because his mind is spent on concentrating on this evil deed, he is seeing it in other people when it's not really there. And so you can tell by the amount of mental cycles that this person is spent thinking about this thing, that he's actually doing this thing. Does that make sense?
Yes, it's the same thing that I was saying. I agree with you that, yes. But I wouldn't say that he necessarily has done the action. I would say that this is his predilection. That type of thought, that type of evil is what that person has a predilection for. That's why it's close on their, it's not in their subconscious, but it's in their present conscience. Like you said, there's how many cycles it's running through. That's because what they're seeing, constantly seeing. I'll give you an example. I agree with you, but what's the proof first? Give me the proof.
There's two proofs of this that I thought of, but one of them, I think this is the best one.
No, give us both of them.
Okay, give me both of them. The first one is a hadith, in which goes, "Man kariha liqa Allah, kariha Allahu liqa'a. Wa man ahabba liqa' Allah, ahabba Allahu liqa'a." And this is that whoever detests the meeting with Allah, Allah detests to meet with him. And whoever loves to meet Allah, Allah loves to meet him. And this is more like what you were explaining, how it goes back to the person's mindset and their mentality, what happens to them. Because this is how Allah treats you. This hadith teaches you that how Allah treats you is based on what your thought is of him.
Okay, that's ultimate. Let me hear the other one.
The other one is the ayah of the Quran in Surah Baqarah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Wa idha qila lahum.
No, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't start off with a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Start off with, if you're going to say a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, say bismillahir rahmanir rahim. It is a mistake that most of these speakers do nowadays, that they start off with the ta'awudh. Okay, I've studied with so many different scholars of tafsir and Quran. None of them allow that. Even though you see all the speakers doing it, Ahlul Quran do not allow it. Go ahead, start with the Basmalah. If you want to do the ta'awud and the Basmalah, ta'awud, do the Basmalah along with it. Okay?
Okay, yes, sir.
And my Sheikh, Muhammad Al-Amin Al-Harari, rahimahullah, he passed away. He was over 100 years old. Okay? He was over, I think he was 110 or something years old. And one of the things about him, he used to make tawaf every morning before Fajr. Okay? He said, as far as he could remember, when he was a young boy and all the shuyukh he studied for, from none of them allowed them this thing of saying, A'udhu billah min ash-shaytan rajim, and then start with the Quran. All of them demanded that you start with the Basmalah, that you include the Basmalah. And the reason why I mention him and I mention his age, because he died maybe about 2 or 3 years ago, I think it was. And alhamdulillah, that takes you back 100 years worth of scholars. Okay? And his tafsir book was entered into the Kaaba as being a classic, modern classic. Okay? So he's a scholar. Sorry?
Which scholar is that?
His name is Muhammad Al-Amin Al-Harari. And he's most famous for being one of the scholars of Mecca and teaching at Darul Hadith Al-Khairiyya. And his tafsir is called the tafsir of all tafsirs. They said if you read his tafsir, it's like you read 10 books or more of tafsir. Okay? So, what I'm saying is by mentioning him is that his scholars, whoever his teachers were, and as old as they were, and as many as they have been over the years. You know, this takes us all the way back to the time where we had the Khilafah, because he's that old. Okay? And he's saying none of his scholars allowed them to do this habit. Now, this is why I say it's very important for you guys to take classes as opposed to read books alone. Because when you take classes, you get the legacy of Islam. You know, the spoken word, the oral tradition. Okay, and when you read sometimes, you get a literary tradition. And just imagine what you can do in a conversation and what you cannot do in a letter. How long it takes you to write a letter and how little is in that letter. As opposed to having a conversation and articulating how much more gets transferred. You see that?
Yes, sir.
Meaning the vast difference between the two. You know, anyone who sat down to write can understand how much time it takes to articulate on paper, but how little, how much is not there that you intended, and that they can't speak back and things like that. Okay, but in a conversation, it comes out, and the same thing is with learning. In a classroom, talking to a teacher, what comes out in articulation and speech doesn't come out in a book. A book is a teaching aid. Okay? So, start again. Give us the proof. And then another point I wanted to make is when you have two proofs, and the first one's from the Quran, give the one from the Quran first. I mean, one of them is from the Quran, one of them from the Hadith. Use the Quran first, normally, unless the Quran is supportive of the Hadith. Okay?
No.
Go ahead.
The statement of Allah Ta'ala, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذا قيل لهم آمنوا كما آمن الناس قالوا أنؤمن كما آمن السفهاء ألا إنهم هم السفهاء ولكن لا يعلمون.
الحمد لله. That's a beautiful proof. Okay. Alhamdulillah. It's a beautiful proof to, you know, to say, you know, like as a man, he says this, but that's not what he is, right? He's not going to follow those foolish people. Alhamdulillah. May Allah bless us with this understanding. What's the third one?
That was all I had, only two.
Come on. Did I say? Okay, I did say that you guys could do just two, didn't I? Okay. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. As long as you guys develop the habit of thinking about what you say, what the recurring phrases that you reference to in your head, and you validate them. You try to validate them with the Quran and the Sunnah. That's the objective of the message, of the lesson. Mr.
Sheikh. That was only one of my proverbs. I have three.
Okay, let me hear the other one.
The second one is, this is actually from a radio show I used to listen to, but I also found it very profound.
What's the name of the radio show? Don't tell us the name of the radio show.
Well, it's kind of a crude radio show that was by some kufar, but the name of it is No Agenda, and I used to listen to it a lot because what they used to do is they used to play clips from the news, and they used to analyze these clips. And they used to find the hidden intentions behind the evil people who run the news. And they used to expose these for the people.
That doesn't sound like a bad show. What's it called? No Agenda?
No Agenda. It's become bad now because the host became an evangelical Christian. And then he started becoming like very, very pro-Israel towards the end. But this only happened in the last couple of years. The show lasted 15 years before that. And in that time,
I think it would be an excellent show to watch. No Agenda. I think that would be excellent to watch. Okay, go ahead.
It is. It was a great resource. But they always used to say, the truth wants to come out. And they would say this, meaning if you sit and listen to someone, especially one of these liars and Dajjals on the news, who are up in front of the people telling lies all the time, if you watch them closely enough and listen to them, they will actually tell you the truth because they can't help it. Because the truth is like, it's like inside their body and it's demanding to be spoken. And they're trying their best to cover it up and maintain this professional appearance. But every now and then it slips. And one of the proofs of that, which I thought was so amazing when this happened, was they compiled a series of like, it had to be at least 50 times when this happened. When just after the pandemic, when they had released the vaccine, which they had told everyone a year ago was too rushed for use by people, and then they started pushing it on people. There was a series of times when the news people and the politicians, they would say, they would replace the word virus with vaccine in their speech without even knowing and with no one correcting them. Like they would say something like, oh, this deadly vaccine, which has killed thousands of people. And in their minds, they would think they would have said virus because nobody would correct them in saying that. But what they really said was vaccine, and we have it on audio recorded. And this must have happened at least 50 times with 50 different people, which is like it boggles the mind that 50 different people could make this mistake and nobody in the room would correct them over and over and over and over. And this to me is a proof that if you're trying to lie about something, and you're trying your best, eventually the truth will come out. And that's what it means. The truth wants to come out. Like the truth is dying to come out. You're trying to cover it, but it's going to come out. And the proof from the Quran and the Sunnah that I found for this was from Surah Luqman, where Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, Ya bunayya in taku mithqalu habbatin min khardalin aw takun fi sahratin. Ofis samawati wal ard yati biha Allah inna Allah latifun khabir. Oh my
son. Mashallah. That's beautiful. Go ahead.
Oh my son, if there would be even a mustard seed hold on, I have to read the translation. One second. Do you know the translation? Can you translate it, Sheikh? I don't have the translation.
Yes, I can translate. Recited again.
Ya bunayya innaha in taku mithqala habbatin min khardalin fataku fi sakhratin aw fi
samawati. I just wanted to hear the first portion there. He says, oh my son, if there is a mustard seed, like you said, a small portion, okay? In the earth, anywhere in the ground, or anywhere in the universe, yet to be Allah. Allah will bring it forth. Okay? Allah is subtle, meticulous, khabir, aware of everything. Okay? But I wanted to see, I was trying to remember the ayah myself, if it said a mustard seed of truth, or mustard seed of al-haq. Okay? And it didn't say that. But it just said any small, you know, and a mustard seed is indicative of a minor detail, or supposedly small detail, not minor, but small detail. Okay? Yati bihallah, Allah will bring it out. Okay? Allah is meticulous, subtle, and aware of all things. Does anybody else have a proof that can help you? Or is that the only proof that you brought about that?
That's the only proof, Shaykh.
The ayat in, I believe it's the ayat in Surah Ra'd. I can't recall it at the top of my head.
Give it to me in English. What does it mean? Give me the meaning.
Like the, it's similar to where, like, the scum of the only thing that's left is the scum of the form.
It's a guy where, yes. Hold on. Yeah. The Odia Tum Bi Qadriha. The valleys are valleys flow at their due measure.
Say that again. I didn't get to hear you well enough.
Oh, pardon me. So the ayah, in the ayah, Allah mentions that valleys flow at their due measures. Odiyat mi qadriha. Let me grab my masala. But
anybody hear me?
Yes, everybody can hear you.
Yes.
Okay. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. كذلك يضرب الله الحق والباطل. أنزل من السماء ماء فزالت
أودية بقدرها فاحتملت سيل. Okay.
زبد الربيع.
Okay, continue. I got you. I caught you when you started. Okay, go ahead.
وَمِمَّا تُوقِدُونَ عَلَيْهِ فِي النَّارِ بِتِغَاءِ حِلْيَةٍ أَوْ مَتَاعٍ زَبَدٌ مِثْلُهُ كَذَلِكَ يَضْرِبُ اللَّهُ الْحَقَّ وَالْبَاطِلَ فَأَمَّا الزَّبَدُ فَيَذْهَبُ جُفَاءً وَأَمَّا يَنْفَعُ النَّاسَ فَيَمْكُثُ فِي الْأَرْضِ كَذَلِكَ يَضْرِبُ اللَّهُ الْأَمْثَالَ. نعم.
يعني ومما يوقدون عليه في النار ابتغاء حلية أو متاع زبد مثله كذلك يضرب الله الحق والباطل. نعم. هذا جميل. You know, this is alhamdulillah, this is a beautiful ayah to go along with what he just said. Alhamdulillah. What number I don't have my mushaf with me.
I just closed my mushaf. Let me see.
No problem. I'll find it. Don't worry about that. It's, inshallah, I'll find it. I
have it right here.
I don't have to find it.
I 19.
I shouldn't have told him.
Oh, pardon me? Oh.
No. It's okay. Now you know. Find it. Memorize it. Tell your boy. 19. You hear that, Tyler?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So you go and you look that up. Did you on a private section, you just tell me yes or no? Did you talk to your father?
No, Sheikh. I'm going to wait till I go there in person in July. It's okay. An in-person conversation.
I hear you. I understand. That makes sense. Alhamdulillah. Let me know, okay? I just want to, you know, personally know.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, alhamdulillah, that's an excellent proof for what you just quoted, Mr. Talaboy. Excellent proof. Alhamdulillah. And go to, you have your mushaf with you, Mr. Talaboy?
Yes, I have it.
Okay, read it to us. Read it to us, the 19, and from Surah Al-Ra'd. Tell us what the meaning is.
Yes, sir.
It's probably two ayahs, right? Let me see. Let me look at myself.
So it's one ayah, but the second one, the last ayah 20, was kind of, it seemed to be connected to it, but it wasn't really a highlighting shahid for the point, because the point was already made.
Okay, well, I'm gonna go to it myself. I'm gonna look it up because I can't remember the next ayah. But let him go ahead and come and tell us what it means.
الذين استجابوا.
No. Let him look it up.
This is the ayah of the scum, right?
Yes, but yes, it is. That's the ayah. But he said he told you it's 19. He told you ayah 19.
So it's not, though. I think it's ayah number 17.
Okay, it's all different.
Because I have Abu Jafar.
Different qira'ah has different numbering.
19.
Oh, okay.
Different qira'ah has different numbering. So never really argue about that particular thing because it'll be different in different qira'ah.
Okay. So it'll be a roundabout. That's what you'll find. One or two before, one or two after. Always about the same thing.
No.
You see me in Quran class. Sometimes I'm like, what did you say? What number did you say? But then I got to remember the qira'ah.
No.
Go ahead.
Okay. أنزل من السماء ماء فسالت أودية بقدرها فاحتمل السيل زبدا رابيا ومما يوقدون عليه في النار ابتغاء حلية أو متاع زبد مثله كذلك يضرب الله الحق والباطل كذلك يضرب الله الحق والباطل فأما الزبد فيذهب جفاء وأما ما ينفع الناس فيمكث في الأرض كذلك يضرب الله الأمثال.
Okay, so read the English.
No. I don't have, let me get the English. I don't have the English in front of me.
Okay, I thought that's what you, okay, I'll translate it for you if you don't have it in front of you. I thought you had something in English for you, okay? Okay, so, so it goes here. He begins here. Well, I think it begins with Am ja'alu lillahi shuraka'a khalaqu ka khalqihi fatashabaha khalqu kullillahu al-khalq. Okay, no, I'll start here. Allah sends down from the sky water. Fasalat awdiyatun biqadriha. And I don't really know how to translate this particular portion, but salat is like it flows, you know, dribbles over the awdiya, the valley, biqadriha. I don't want to translate that part because I'm not too clear with that. I know what measure means, but I can't get the whole phrase in a good sentence. Can you?
Causing valleys to flow according to its due measure, according to its capacity.
And then fahtamala saylu zabadul al rabia with that portion then.
And the currents then carry along, rising foam.
Okay. Zabadul rabia. Okay, so that's the foam there, the rising of the butter of it, right, in the foam. وَمِمَّا تُوْقِدُونَ عَلَيْهِ You get it. If you have a translation, go ahead, read it to me, please.
Yes, sir. It says here in this translation, it says, he sends down rain from the
sky. Whose translation is it, please?
Okay, this is, let me check. This is, what is it called? The Clear Quran?
No, don't use that one.
Okay.
Turn it, if you're on that Quran station, change it to international, Sahih International,
okay.
And also add upon that one the by Khan
okay.
Yes,
sir. I have Hilali.
Hilali with Khan and Sahih International. Do not use Clear Quran. I believe that Clear Quran people are Bathaniya.
Okay.
Okay, and above the knee are people who use the proofs in Islam and twist them to be to undo them or to lead you astray with the new translation, their nominal their new wave translation.
Jazakallah khaira. We used to give those out, and then I stopped recently.
And that was another thing that I noticed that how much they push those to try to make a new, you know, authentic, because they wanted to get rid of, you see, they've been trying to get rid of Hilali and Khan for years. In the early days, like in the early 90s, Hilali with Khan, their translation was really when the Salafi movement was going really, really strong, before people were hating on each other. And then when they saw how well people were uniting, they immediately removed them almost out of everywhere. First, they tried to do a revised version of it. That didn't work because too many people had the old version. Then they started to remove them. And then all of a sudden, they started to replace them with this Clear Quran. And I saw that the language was looser and more playable.
Mm.
And so they're trying to do with us what they've done with the Bible.
Mm.
And make new revisions and all this other. And so then this mediocrity of the new nation and they re-promoting the don't learn Arabic type thing would make people start interpreting the interpretation.
Mm.
Okay? Playing with the interpretation. Well, it says here, interpret here, which would mean this, that. And I saw them doing that. So to me, I do not promote this clear. And you know, look at this. You go to Quran.com. What's the first one? Clear Quran. Yeah. It's the default one.
No.
Okay? Yet it's the newest one, and the person is not really that known for his knowledge in that way, in that regard. As opposed to the two shuyukh, Khan and Hilali, if we're going to talk about modern, or Sa'adi, which has been translated as well. But it's not there. You get my point?
Yes, sir. Jazakallah khair.
Ameen wa yakum. Recite it again, please.
This is from Sahih International.
Yes.
It says, what can mean? He sends down from the sky rain and valleys flow according to their capacity. And the torrent raises a rising foam. And from that ore which they heat in the fire, desiring adornments and utensils is a foam like it. Thus Allah presents the example of truth and falsehood. As for the foam, it vanishes, being cast off. But as for that which benefits the people, it remains on the earth. Thus does Allah present examples.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillah. That is a perfect, in my estimation, proof for Mr. Tyler Boyd's example. He's, you know, when they want to bring forth the truth wants to come out. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Now, actually, this says the truth is going to come out. You see that, Tyler Boyd?
Yes, sir. That's right.
No, right. Alhamdulillah. Jazakumullah khair. Could you read us again? Tell us what Hilali says.
Yes, sir. Hilali says, Hilali Nakhani says, he sends down water, rain from the sky, and the valleys flow according to their measure. But the flood bears away the foam that mounts up to the surface, and also from that ore which they heat in the fire in order to make ornaments or utensils, rises a foam like unto it. Thus does Allah, by parables, show forth truth and not falsehood. Then, as for the foam, it passes away as scum upon the banks, while that which is good for mankind remains in the earth. Thus Allah sets forth parables for the truth and falsehood, i.e. belief and disbelief.
Alhamdulillah. You know, the thing about Hilali and Khan, they always give extra commentary. Where Sahih International was a group of scholars who came together and they argued over the translation. So you'll find a good translation. And then in Khan and Hilali, you'll find not only a similar translation to Sahih, but also added commentary that is indicative of what is in Ibn Kathir. Okay? Following with Ibn Kathir or clarifying a point of Iman. So that's where you can be kept safe if you're going to use translations to reference those two together. I don't consider one of them as totally beneficial, but with those two together would suffice you. Alhamdulillah. May Allah bless you guys with this assignment. Alhamdulillah. Mr. Omar, did you have any?
I only have one. I had a lot of stuff going on in my mind this week.
I don't want to give you excuses, man.
Give you an excuse. I have one. Yeah.
Go ahead. Let me hear it.
Okay. It is. We don't care what you're doing over there.
Where did it come from?
This comes from. I got it from a rap back in the day.
What's the name of the rap, brother?
It's a friend of mine. What was that? I forgot what the name of it was, but it's a friend of mine. His name is Nito.
What's your friend's name?
His name is Tyrone Brown, but they call him Needle Stacks.
Needle Stacks?
Yes, sir. Needle Stacks.
I think you mentioned him before some years ago.
Right. I did.
Okay, but go ahead.
So he said, "We don't care what you're doing over there." So what I understand this to mean is that we're focus on your own life, like what you have going on. We don't care anything that you got going on. Like, I'm focused on my own life, my own situation. So the proofs for this, Islamically, what I understand is that I in a Surah Al-Ma'idah, yeah, you are living amanu alaykum anfusakum, or you believe, worry about yourself, focus on yourselves, as well as the hadith of Abu Huraira, narrated by Abu Huraira, the Prophet said, "Min husni Islam al-mar'i tarukuhu ma la ya'ni." So these things that I try to go by, what you like.
Translate it, please. Don't assume everybody understands English, Arabic.
The first ayah I did translate, I believe.
Yes, you
the
did.
The hadith, the Prophet said, he said, from the beauty of a person's Islam, from the beauty and perfection of a person's Islam, is that he leaves off those things that do not concern him and not his business. It's nothing to do with him. And from the understanding of this is that he only busies himself with that which it benefits him. So this saying of, like, we don't care what you're doing over there, is that meaning that I'm focused on my own life, I'm focused on my Jannah, I'm focused on what I have going on personally, and I'm not really concerned about what other people are doing. Like, I have focused on my own goals and what I have set out to do and what I'm trying to achieve. So this is something that I try to live by. Inshallah.
Alhamdulillah. I think that the proofs are perfect for that. And Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Barakallahu Fikum. Again, I believe this assignment was very beneficial. Did you guys benefit from it?
Yes, sir.
Alhamdulillah.
Yes, sir.
Alhamdulillah. And again, the ultimate objective of this drill is to train you to look into everything in the world around you and to draw from it fiqh. And when you can do that, then you are truly a scholar. Okay? If you cannot walk in a room and draw some fiqh and be able to apply some fiqh out of everything that's going on, because everything becomes an amthal, an example, a parable being played out. Okay? Everything that's happening. Okay? So now you to look at that, find it, you know, consider it. That's what part of knowledge is, gaining knowledge and constantly learning, benefiting. As long as you can, I like what one of you all said, is understand that if you focus on the leaf, you won't see the tree. Okay? And if you focus on the tree, you won't see the forest. So, alhamdulillah, you have to have your eyes open and your head on a swivel, as they said, you know, constantly looking at everything and paying attention to detail, but not being lost on the detail, meaning so focused on the details that you don't see everything else around it. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. May Allah bless you guys.
Sorry, Sheikh. Another saying with the same meaning of what I said.
Okay, let me correct you again. Don't say I'm sorry. Say pardon me. Okay?
Pardon me.
Because remember, sorry is only used for personal offenses against another person. The proper way to speak in this is to say, pardon me. Okay?
Pardon me, Sheikh.
Go ahead.
Another saying that coincides with this one, what I mentioned, is saying, I believe Jay-Z said this. He said this in a rap. He said, "What you eat don't make me shit.
Nah.
It has same meaning of basically what I mentioned.
And so you can alter that. You can alter that to make it not fahish by saying what you eat doesn't make them full.
Yes, sir.
Right? So that you can have the same meaning of the idea. The idea is that he did it for shock purposes, you know?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, it's just true. Sadly, in that vein, that thought, the Muslims, I remember taking a class, and I think it was Abdul Hakim Quick who taught us the point that in history, one of the mistakes the Muslims are still making is that we're claiming the praise of the actions of the generations that have passed before us. And we can't claim their accomplishments. Okay, you know, like we're sitting on our laurels, like we've accomplished what they have. You know, look at us. We're the great nation. We did Baghdad. We did Andalusia. No, we didn't. We did Philly last week at the Eid. That's what we did. Okay? We are the ones that are sitting here watching Philistine getting destroyed and not doing anything about it. Okay? So you can't, you know, take the praise of or get filled from the accomplishments of the previous generations and then feel like you've accomplished something by that. You may be standing on their shoulders, but your accomplishments are the ones that you know that you are in current real time doing. Does everybody understand what I mean by that?
Yes, sir. I initially did not see where you were getting at, but I understand it now. I believe it's bouncing off what I've mentioned.
It is. It's us taking that same concept and trying to be full from the meals that our previous generations have done. Okay? You get it? We're taking bragging rights for things that activities we have not participated in. Okay? You follow me?
Yes, sir.
That's right. You're right.
And I think that this deludes us into a state of comfortability. That's the sin of it, is that now we are, you know, we're the Muslims. We, you know, look what we did to you and then Malgirits. No, we didn't do anything in the battle of Arslan against the crusading, you know, Persian Roman army or whatever it was, not Persian, but the Roman army at that time. We didn't do that. We didn't win the first crusade. We're here. We're the victims of the last crusade. So when they came back and urinated on Salah al-Din's grave and said, "We're back." You know, that was the American Marines who did that. We're that generation, not the Salah al-Din generation. And so we have to not try to get full of someone else's meal, the meal that our seniors did. Alhamdulillah. May Allah bless us to benefit from these statements, these phrases. May Allah make us more conscious of the phrases that we refer to and to spend as much time as possible to reflect on what we're thinking and to correct it and to align it with Quran and Sunnah. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت Sorry?
I mentioned something.
Sure.
It's another phrase. I just remembered it during class, so I wrote it down. I don't have a dalil for it right away, but I have an author for it that you've mentioned before. The phrase is what my mom has said it several times, and I looked it up a while ago, and it's from the Bible. It's a tree is known by the fruit that it bears. And
mashallah.
The author for that is what you mentioned to us about Imam Ahmed, that he said, he said that a man can tell you about what he's about until he's blue in the face. But if you really want to know what he's about, then bring his son.
Yes, bring his children. His children is more than enough proof on what he learned at home, right? What he's being taught at home, what he's been allowed to do, what he's being grown upon, you know, and that can spin into so many different things. That can spin in, and this is why I tell those ladies who kidnap these men's children, their ex-husband's children, or hold their husbands, their ex-husband's children hostage, and then raise their children in opposition to what the fathers want. Change their name. Don't call them the son of your ex-husband. Call them the son of you, because they're not their ex-husband's children. Yet they don't represent the teachings of the ex-husband, because that's what the name is, right? You're proud of your product. Right? Your product. This is my child. Not just through DNA, but through education and training. But when that's not true, then it's a lie. Okay, then it's not, that's not my child. You took my child. It's like, you know, I was thinking of Darth Vader, but it's like someone who actually has kidnapped your blood child, taken him someplace else and raised them to hate you or to grow up on values that are not your values. Right? That's what your enemy does. Okay? So if it's your child, then the fruit that the produce of his actions will reflect your home life, your values, your statements. Like we're almost all of us quoted something from our parents or from our childhood. Right? From our upbringing.
So, yes, sir. You know,
Alhamdulillah, I mean, let me get out of here because I have another class.
I had another one too. I just remembered it.
Go ahead.
Birds of a feather flock together. You have as Allah mentions, those people. Zumar. The last page in Surah Az-Zumar, where Allah tells us about those people in Jannah and Nar, and that those people. Zumarah, the people are going to be gathered in Zumarah in groups. Then it says here, like, scholars are going to be with the scholars. Mujahidun going to be Mujahidun. Pimps going to be with pimps. People that's just like you, you're going to be gathered up and gathered with them. As was a hadith of, believe Abu Huraira, Prophet ﷺ said that a man followed is on the same deen as his Khalidi, Falyanzur and Yukhalid. Let each one of you look and investigate who he takes as a close friend.
Right, because in that vein, what the hadith is referencing is a fact, as the Prophet laid it down, which means that your Khalil, the people that you hang out with, have a profound effect on you, whether you want it to or not. Whether you intended that evil that they have to affect you or that good to affect you, it will have an effect on you. And there's another hadith about the man who has the friend that has the burning the beating the metal, and the other one that has the oil. I have to run toward me for a second.
Sorry, brothers, I wasn't able to hear you guys' examples. Was that work?
You have the recording.
Okay, JazakAllah khair.
I have one.
I have to go to the next class. I have a bunch of students waiting in the next classroom. And so I have to end now. But I agree with the statement. And there are many proofs to that in the Sunnah. So we need to look to see who we spend our time with, not who we say we want to spend our time with, but who we actually spend our time with. And one of the things that we can notice about people who come to Islam, when they don't immediately change their companions, the quality of their Islam doesn't change their life. You know what I'm saying? So we see some people who come to Islam and then they finally fizzle out, or even just they remain nominally Muslim, but their life doesn't change. And that's because their companionship doesn't change, you know. But then once the people change and start this, a lot of people say start going to the masjid, and what they mean by that, start being around Muslims, then the quality of their deen changes. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. And even when people make hijrah or go and travel to the different places, the quality of and the depth of their Islam changes to a very palatable level because of their environment and the effect of that environment. And sometimes, even when they leave that environment, come back to a kafir environment, they're totally different people. Especially us converts, the converts who are, but not even converts, let's say people who are born in the West, okay, and raised in the West, even if you're raised a Muslim, the quality of your Islam is going to be different. And then when you go overseas to a country that is, you know, Islamic or more Islamic, you're going to have a different experience, and that may strengthen you, okay, and give you a certain depth of Islam that when you come back to the land of the Kufar, you're now an immigrant. You're no longer, you know, it's hard for you to convince someone that you're born in the land of Kufar. Does that make sense to you guys, what I mean by that?
Yes, sir.
Very much so, yes, sir.
No, alhamdulillah. May Allah make it easy for us all. And this is why I think it's very important to go make Umrah. Because that little bit of companionship of being around the people, the Hujjaj, and being at the Kaaba, has a profound effect on the rest of everybody's life. Okay, like I said, I have some students in the next classroom. I have to go to them right now. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I expect you guys to finish reading and prepare for the next class. We're not going to do this assignment. We're going back to our books, okay, for memorization. Those who haven't memorized and those who have, we're still in the second chapter of the business transactions. So please be ready to astaghfirullah. Articulate that portion of it. I will try to do some to make a class before we have a class. Okay. And Mr. Omar, I would like you to do more readings on a more daily basis. If not every day, every other day to post your readings.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you, sir. Thanks, sir.
Mr. Baraka, please end the recording.
Yes, sir.